Refund America Project fell at the Roosevelt Institute. The report, Scooping and Tossing Puerto Rico's Future. And Juan, we'll link to your report, your article at the New York Daily News. That does it for our broadcast. Special thanks to Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 8 o'clock. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from People's Food Co-op. People's Food Co-op is a community-owned, values-driven, natural foods co-op committed to providing access to whole foods customers can trust. People's features farm-direct organic produce from over 30 local farms, bulk foods, a weekly Wednesday farmers market, and everyone's welcome. Located on Southeast 21st and Tibbet Street between Division and Powell, and online at peoples.coop. Coming up, Joanne Hardesty and Voices from the Edge.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Underground Graduate School. Classes that begin in September include The Problem with Privilege, Direct Action Organizing, and Decoding Plants, Seeing Urban Flora with New Eyes. Portland Underground Graduate School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, future classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tony Ozier and the Doodoo Funk All-Stars are teaming up with KBOO Community Radio and Audio Globe for another installment of the Dookie Jam. That's September 1st at 10 p.m. at Dante's at 350 West Burnside in downtown Portland. Audio Globe is an audiovisual recording company that specializes in high-fidelity capture and streaming services providing global reach to regional and national artists on audioglobe.com. The Dookie Jam brings together some of the region's best funk, soul, rock, R&B, and jazz musicians to jam one night a month live at Dante's. The Dookie Jam is happening September 1st, 10 p.m., and we'll be streaming live on kboo.fm and audioglobe.com.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring. We are seeking a full-time AM News and Public Affairs Director. Applications are due by 4 p.m. Friday, September 2nd, at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Applications may also be emailed. Send them to hiring@kboo.org. To apply, please send both a resume and a cover letter outlining your skills and experience with regard to the minimum qualifications. And please answer the question, why is KBOO important? For more information and a full job description, go to kboo.fm/AM News. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Again, that's kboo.fm/AM News. And thank you.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. I am pleased to have in the studio with me two organizers in training from OPAL. OPAL stands for Organizing People, Activating Leaders. Jay Singh, welcome to the studio.
Peace, peace, salutations.
It's a pleasure to have you here. You. And Beatrice, would you say your full name for me? It's a pleasure to have you here as well. Welcome to the studio. And so OPAL recently came out with a report called Life, Low Income Fair Equity. And you have a campaign, so we're going to get into what the campaign is. But first, I want to know about you young people because, you know, I'm old and I always like to know what young people are up to. So how did you get into OPAL's organizer and training program, A, and B, what do you hope to get out of the program? I'll start with you, Jay.
Well, I started off in Atlanta, Georgia, and I got my undergrad degree in environmental studies. And I started researching environmental justice organizations there, and just have been, I kept an eye on OPAL since, and when I moved here in about 2.5 years ago, you know, I just, I kept keeping an eye on them, and I got into the Masters of Urban and Regional Planning program at Portland State, and really wanted to get involved with transit activism. And so this summer, I you know, found out about the organizers and training program, and I applied for that, and so that's really how I got involved. And
yeah. Excellent. How about you, Beatrice?
Well, I was a graduate from University of Oregon. I was an ethnic studies major, and I had learned about a lot of social justice issues and started organizing there. I was a vote organizer at Portland State for a while, just registering people to vote. When I found this program and I really wanted to do it, I started out doing it as a part-time because I had to work full-time. I did it Friday and Saturday, but I started doing it full-time now and I just love it. I just kind of found it through my networks. I was really interested because I hadn't been exposed to a lot of environmental issues, or just like the intersections of environmental and racial justice. So I really love just how OPAL brings those two together, and including low-income people. So it really brings in a bunch of different lenses.
Wonderful. And so what is the organizer and training program? How long is it? What are you supposed to get out of it? Did they work you to death? Is there any free time?
Yeah, it's an intensive program. It's 10 weeks long during the summer. So it's a summer leadership development program fully funded by OPAL donors. And it's empowering the next generation of grassroots community organizers and activists in our community. So we get out to the bus stops and transit stations and really interact with the frontline communities and listen to their stories, and sort of we've been collecting them in this report that we've had we just released on Wednesday called Low Income Fair Equity. So that's one of the aspects of the program. And so that was one of the things that I really wanted to get out of it, is to really engage with those communities and just interact with them and understand their perspective a lot more.
And so the goal of the program then sounds like it is a transit justice program focused on low-income people having access to the public transportation system. I'm curious, Beatrice, what motivated you to go through this 10-week program? What did you learn?
Well, actually, our graduation is today.
Oh, today's graduation day. Whoa.
So
happy congratulations.
Thank you. I think the main part of the program was to make us organizers, community organizers, that we learned how to tell our own story, how to talk to people and that are just part of the community. I did part of our developing of our EJ champions, our environmental justice champions. But I think we also learned a lot of tools that we need for bringing organizers and learning how to do all that stuff.
Did it remove some of the fear?
It did, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For me, it did. It put me outside my comfort zone a lot. I'm an introvert, so it really got me to, talking to strangers and sort of being out there. It's made me more comfortable now and confident. So.
And you found out that your voice matters. When you use it, people listen, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's why I love organizers. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And so there is a bus riders union. So let's talk a bit about that. And that's a program of OPAL, is that correct?
Yeah. Right. That has been mainly our focus, but there's OPAL has a couple, or also has another program for youth empowerment called Yeasia. It's Youth Environmental Justice Alliance,
right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Talk a little bit about that program.
Well, they're high school students. I think it just got started a couple last year, mm-hmm. and they work on the youth pass. So Portland students all get like a free bus pass now. And they've been working to extend that to other schools just east of Portland,
right.
Like David Douglas and Park Rose, that don't have access to those free passes right. and thus don't get access to the city as much.
Well, and there's a lot of school districts in Multnomah County.
Mm-hmm.
None of them get those bus passes,
yeah, it's
right?
just Portland.
Except Portland,
district.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okie doke. And so that program is for high school students. So it teaches them organizing skills. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that that OPAL starts at high school, because it's at a time when young people really are starting to notice inequities in their communities, and they've experienced inequities and they're annoyed by it and they don't quite know what to do with that energy. So it's a wonderful time. So let's talk about the report that was released Wednesday. So the LIFE report will be presented to TriMet's Board of Governors. And when will that take place?
That's September 28th, Wednesday. We actually held a rally yesterday in front of the TriMet office, and we had a big envelope to present to the board, Neil McFarland, the executive director, and Doug Kelsey, and they couldn't show up. We had planned a meeting with them, and so we were really disappointed. And so they canceled, and even the equity, I think another person we had invited, they didn't show up. So there was an executive secretary came down, and so we had a big prop, big envelope designed by the OITs with the OPAL stamp on it,
right.
And we had their names on it and the report in there to make sure that the executive the Neil McFarland gets the report, and the report was inside. So it's on Facebook Live. We've made a video of it, so you can see it.
Nice.
And so it was real fun. A lot of people showed up.
Well, it must have been disappointing, though, to have a meeting set with the head of the transit, our local public transit system, and
right.
have them just not show. Did they give a reason why they didn't show up?
I'm not clear on that, but our next call of action is to really go to the TriMet board meeting on September 28th. We need people out there and to provide testimony on how low income fare would benefit them, and talk about some of the hardships that they've encountered with the TriMet system.
And so, Beatrice, what did you find out from talking to people who ride public transit?
This is really a necessity for some people. Like, we spend a lot of time on the buses, and I talked to a few people that just explained just the sacrifices they have to make to be able to pay for their fare. Mm. And it seems unnecessary for people to have to sacrifice so much just to get where they need to be.
People are making choices like what?
And there's this one story in our report. I think she talks about how she has to cancel meetings, appointments, like doctor's appointments, because she doesn't have the fare to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to change her plans because she doesn't have fare, or collect cans mm-hmm. to make enough money to get her fare.
And so, are we more expensive than most cities when it comes to transit fare?
I think right now, Seattle and San Francisco both offer a low-income fare.
Right, yeah. It's in our report. We have those two cities as examples of how to implement a low-income fare mm-hmm. at the 200% federal poverty line. And right now, TriMet's only using the 150% level. So in our report, it details exactly how it's being done in other cities, how it's possible, mm-hmm. and how we can do it here in Portland.
And I'm sure the first thing TriMet would say is they're going to lose money if they do this, right?
Right.
And so what's the answer to that?
In the report, it also details the different ways they can make money.
Mm-hmm.
So that we talked about being more resourceful and some of the changes that they can make, like charging for the parking ride, mm-hmm. like a dollar or two, because those are the people that are more choice riders. Mm-hmm. So they have cars.
They have options rather than...
Right. Yeah, and using their bus stations as like showing advertisements on the buses or on the bus stops.
Right. And so don't they already charge, make money off of ads on buses now?
Yeah, from what I understand, I think they do. So in our report, it says we recommend that TriMet impose taxes on investment income and corporate profit within the service area as a less regressive alternative to additional payroll taxes. Mm-hmm. And then aggressively pursue additional revenue from advertising on transit vehicles and stops. So I think it's more aggressive in that sense. And then add fare surcharge for the West commuter rail.
And I believe that transit is different based on how you use transit, right? Especially in the Portland metropolitan area. I'm on the 20 bus all the time, and I see people struggling to get on the bus or to have any resources. And as we know, housing is a big problem. And so if you don't have good transit, you certainly can't get to housing, you can't get to employment, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So from the stories that you heard, what story stuck with you, either of you?
Well, one story that stuck with me was I met sort of a person like my age who was trying to get to the airport, and he worked at the airport, and he didn't have money to pay for the fare, and he needed to get his paycheck. So it was sort of a dilemma, is like, how do I get to my job to get my paycheck?
So I can have money to pay my
fares, right? And he was a person of color too, and sort of that brings up the intersection of profiling and things like that. So for OPAL, the long-term goal is to have, we believe that transit is a human right, you know, so having like a fare-free transit system would prevent that profiling. So we, I think at OPAL, they focus on the intersectionality of all these justice issues, from housing justice, climate justice, social justice.
And it's all interconnected, yes.
Exactly.
One of the things that interests me is, we've been talking, we used to have Fareless Square, right? We used to have fareless rides in parts of the city, which I thought was inappropriate, right? It's like, how do some people get free fare and some people don't, right? Just based on where you live geographically in the city. But rather than doing away with it, we could have actually implemented a free fare system. Is there any large city, metropolitan city, that has a free public transit system? I know Seattle is free downtown, right?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Right? That would be our goal, though.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it would make sense, right? If the goal is to get people on public transit, that we would actually have a system that was readily accessible to folks. And nothing really bad happened when we had Fareless Square, right? I mean, yes, some homeless people slept on buses and trains, but when you're homeless, you have to sleep wherever you can. Mm-hmm. So we're going to let listeners know, if they want to join the conversation, they can give us a call at 503-231-8187. So let's talk about the specific demands that are being made of TriMet's Board of Governors on September 28th at their board meeting.
Okay. So we're basically asking for six main points. So the upper income limit for participation in the program should use 200% of the federal poverty line.
Mm-hmm. Which is currently at 150, right?
Correct.
And you want them to...
And so, yeah, they're implementing a new e-fare program called the Hop Fast Pass.
I keep seeing those little boxes everywhere.
Right. So it's a new multi-million-dollar program. So we really want them to integrate the low-income fare as a part of that process. And right now, they're only considering 150%. So that's one point. The second point is the reduced cost fare should match the honored citizen fare of $28 per month. And another point is the eligibility should be verified through W-2s, tax returns, pay stubs, or possession of an Oregon Trail card. Mm-hmm. And the card should be valid for at least 2 years from the date of issuance, as is the case in Seattle. So those are the major points.
Excellent, excellent. And what time of day and where is the board meeting?
So the it's going to be, again, September 28th at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. The location will be at 2766 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And we're going to set up a hotline so folks can call in and tell their stories at Opal. Right now you can contact our lead head organizer. His name is Orlando Lopez. Mm-hmm. His number is 503-774-4504, or you can email him at orlando@opalpdx.org.
Excellent, excellent. And so what I heard where you're headed. So you're in this master's program. What's your next goal?
That's a very good question. I think I've done organizing for a while, and mm-hmm. I found like I'm very passionate about working with the community. So I definitely am looking for an organizer position mm-hmm. as like something to do all the time.
Wonderful. And so the environmental justice is kind of in your blood right now?
Yeah. I'm I'm like really interested about the intersections. And just I've also been talking with my friend about the intersection of like immigration issues and environmental justice. Mm. And that has been like a budding issue.
Oh my gosh, yes. And this presidential election, if you're not thinking about how those two issues interrelate, mm-hmm. you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I've heard at Opal, like, we can't have sustainability without equity. And right. I think that really includes everyone.
You know, I used to be the president of the Coalition for a Livable Future. And when they first started using that sustainability phrasing, mm-hmm. It used to make me crazy because I would say, well, who wants to sustain being poor, being, you know, unemployed, you know, living yeah. in poor housing? Nobody wants to sustain that. I said, you know, that is definitely a very middle class perspective of justice, right? Mm-hmm. 503-231-8187. It looks like this report was very thoroughly researched. So it looks like you have looked at other major public transit systems, and that you've done some real detailed financial analysis about just kind of where money comes from and how the money is distributed in the system. We were talking a little while before the show started, Jay, about how TriMet's board is even appointed and how weird it seems that the governor is appointing a regional transit board and doesn't appear to have any like criteria about their usage of the system, right? It's mm-hmm. like, so I don't know what the goal is of the of previous governors who've appointed people to the board. So maybe there's an opportunity under Governor Kate Brown to actually change whose voice is represented on the TriMet board, right? Because I think that's part of the problem.
Absolutely.
If you've had people who are not transit dependent making decisions for people who are transit dependent, they're normally pretty bad decisions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the goals, I think, for Opal is to really, there's a vacant seat, or I think, I don't know if it's still vacant, but we're really pushing to have, you know, the decision makers, you know, be representative of the ridership. Mm-hmm.
And so I know Opal's been doing this leadership program for a while. Do you know what class this is that you're in?
So it started in 2010.
Okay.
And
So it's been 6 years. Yeah. Wow, I'm older than I thought. And so how many people participate annually?
I think it
varies.
Yeah, it varies. And this year we have three folks. It's me, Beatriz, and Maria. Uh-huh. And we have a coordinator, awesome coordinator, Nakisha Nathan.
Okay.
Shout out to her.
Yeah.
And the Opal staff, they're pretty amazing. So we've done workshops with the youth. We go out on the bus stops. We've done fundraising for with EJ Champions. We've met awesome folks like you. And it's been fun. You know, we've been tabling at events. And so, yeah, it's
so what are you hearing from young people?
I haven't actually worked with young people.
Okay. Yeah. Go ask Jay.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah. So Jennifer Fung, she's a youth coordinator and organizer. And so we did a workshop with, we helped them. We facilitated like a resume building workshop and also financial literacy. And we did a test run on a reproductive justice workshop.
Nice.
So that was really awesome. And they're bright folks. I've never worked with youth, so it was sort of intimidating, but I really loved it. And it's inspiring to, you know, see folks that are, you know, interested in such issues. And,
yes. I had the same experience this summer. I worked with a group of young people to create a tool called Youth in the Law for all the incoming freshmen in the Portland Public School next year. And these seven young people I worked with were absolutely awesome. I mean, they were so talented. They did all the work. It's great. So, it always gives me hope when that's what keeps me smiling, because I know if we just hold on, the next generation is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And so, you didn't get a chance to work with the youth, but so who did you work with specifically?
Because I was doing it like part-time, I've done a lot more like targeted research, just research for the organization.
Right. Well, that's an important part, right?
Yeah.
Because yes, you have to have the stories, right? Because the stories are real lived experiences, but can't go in with just stories. You got to have some hard data. So.
Yeah.
So you were the data person, huh?
I was a data person, yeah. And I got to work with Hui a lot and Nikisha on just like working out those details and being able to transfer like our knowledge into like a tool that we can use.
Yes.
But yeah.
Very cool. And again, if you're just joining the conversation, I am talking with Jay Singh and Beatriz
Gutierrez.
Can't do that yet this morning. From Opal, they are organizers in training. They graduate today. We are discussing a new report called Life that has been presented to TriMet's executive director, but will be presented at the board meeting on September 28th at 9 a.m. And Opal and organizers in training are encouraging people to go online, read the report, and please come to the TriMet board meeting to share your perspective on whether or not it's time for Portland to institute a low-income fare for riders, especially transit dependent riders. And I'm impressed. I think the report is very well done. I think the argument is well laid out. So what's the next step? So let's assume that TriMet sees this report and they say, oh, you guys are brilliant. We've never thought about this, but you've done all the hard work. What's next?
I don't know if it'll be exactly like that. As they say, they did like start working on a similar report.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's going to be a bit of a challenge to see like what their report says and what ours says and how we kind of negotiate the differences.
Yes.
Because I feel like there's bound to be differences.
I'm sure their report will paint a very rosy picture of life on public transit. Has anybody, do you know if anyone has contacted them to find out why they didn't come to the meeting? Do you expect to be able to meet with them prior to the board meeting?
I think they tried to set up a meeting. They responded and they want to set up a private meeting, but I'm not sure on the details of that. And I don't want to talk too much because I don't think I should be actually, but I don't think we made a decision on that. But for what I understand is,
we know how public bodies get a little nervous when more than 10 people show up at an event, right?
Yeah.
Especially if they think that they're going to be in trouble about something, right? Which is very unfortunate because, this is the public transit system that we rely on. And the expectation would be that it serves the public. And so when the public comes to be heard, we expect to be heard.
Yeah, and I think that's what Opal is trying to do is bring the community to TriMet.
Right.
It's like, these are your people.
Right.
Like, you should listen to them.
Right.
And not necessarily have, like, private meetings with TriMet, but really expected them to show up,
right,
come out and meet them. It's really amazing.
It is so logical, right?
Yeah, we have our own board. We have people who, we have a leadership in the Bus Riders Unite program.
Yes, you've got a couple of longtime people who've been involved in the Bus Riders United program that I see everywhere, all over town. And it cracks me up because it's like, because I'm on the public transit and I think, wow, they made it too, right? So we figure out how to get around. But having said that, it is really challenging, depending upon what area of town you live in, whether or not TriMet is truly an ideal transit system. Have you found that in your conversations with people?
Absolutely. I think you see it, especially in communities of color, we're getting pushed out. You know, gentrification is a real thing. And we actually just moved offices. Opal is getting gentrified. You know, we were in the inner southeast, and now we're in 82nd. Our first day at the program, we helped move offices, and so we see that. And you know, as we're getting pushed further and further east, away from the center, we have to acknowledge the fact that the price of transportation is taking a more hit on our paychecks and income and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely an issue.
Right. And as we talk about whether it's cap and trade or emissions, I become really concerned that as we push people of color and poor people out to the suburbs, it costs us twice as much in transportation costs as it does to the gentrifiers who are living in the central city. And yet we're being, you know, told that if we, you know, we need to lighten our carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a poor person, you want to strangle the person who said that to you, because your reality is not about carbon footprint. You want to speak to that? Maybe not.
Agreeing, because it does make sense, because our reality is really like, how are we going to get places?
Right.
And I think in the report it talks, there's a story of like a person who wants to ride transit,
right,
but just because it's like, it doesn't pan out, because you also lose a lot of time.
Yes.
And for like people who are low income, like, you don't have a lot of time.
Right.
You need to get places, you work,
right,
like 10-hour days, you work more, you have kids to feed.
Right.
I don't know.
And then if you have to take the transit bus to the grocery store, and you live in Oregon and it's wet and you've got kids, and then you are on public transit, and then it's raining and it's dark and cars don't stop, or they do stop and you get water soaked all over you while you're waiting. I've seen this with my own eyes, you know, and you just think, oh my gosh. I mean, because I thought I was having a bad day until I saw somebody struggling with grocery bags and kids in the rain trying to get on the bus. And so a lot of people have that existence, but I think it's invisible to people who don't have that existence.
Absolutely. I think another issue like that I've encountered is just like when I'm talking to folks, like, you realize how unstable like folks' lives are.
Yes,
like,
yes. In,
as far as like even employment, like having stable employment is such a luxury, you know, because like, especially in regards to transportation, like when you have a car and you don't have stable employment, at least like you're flexible.
Right.
When you have to rely on transit, you have to really like look at the schedule and figure out, you know, plan out your routes. So it takes a lot of time and consideration. And so getting a car is sometimes easier for low income folks because it's just of the convenience factor.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. And then that increases cost as well, right? And then, of course, you don't have a new car. So.
Right.
And so it goes. The cycle goes. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. We are talking about Opal's new report entitled Life. And it is a ask to the TriMet board to develop a low-income fare that will benefit low-income people and people of color who are transit dependent in our city. And as we were just saying, if you're, I used to live on 166th and Stark, and it would take me an hour to get anywhere at a minimal. right? And so you're absolutely right when you talk about having to plan out your day and having to figure out, okay, how do I make this work? Mm-hmm. It is a very, very challenging thing. I am on 103rd now, and it's like, oh my gosh, I lost 60-some blocks. It's great. It does make a difference. And so what do you hope comes out of your experience with Opal? You think that that experience has prepared you for the next? And if so, how?
For me, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, being a future urban planner, like thinking in that mindset, I really wanted to like improve my facilitation skills, my active listening skills, really get a sense of what I'm, because as an urban planner, we're looking at numbers and maps and things like that. We're not connecting it to the story. So really listening to folks created like a sense of urgency for me and increased my sense of empathy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I gained is sort of it built my confidence in that sense of learning how to listen actively and communicate effectively. And I hope to continue volunteering, you know, with the BRU, go out and bus organize after, you know, this program ends, just to keep me sharp, you know.
Right, right. Keep you on your toes, yeah. Yes. How about you?
I think it's really helped me develop, like, what it means to be a community organizer, mm-hmm. like building, like, a deeper connection with people. And I think it was with Jay on the bus one day, and I realized I had, like, a bunch of people signed up, but mm-hmm. I hadn't created that deeper connection. Uh-huh. And I was like, whoa, like, this is community organizing. I need to be able to, like, remember who these people are, right. Remember their stories off the top of my head because I just talked to them.
Right.
So I think it's really pushed me to be a better organizer, mm-hmm. And understand how to build those connections with people.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Coming up this morning on The Boo at 9 here, Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Para talks about Syria and Hillary Clinton. Thanks, K-Boo members, for your generous support. Not a member yet? No problem. You can just go to kboo.fm and click on donate and become a member that way. We have now callers stacked up, so we're going to go to the phone line. Good morning, Mariah. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to chime in that I lived in Singapore for a time, and they had fabulous public transportation, really efficient, very affordable. I think in Singapore money, it was like 75 cents for your initial ride. It cost me about $40 a month to use their transit system. And they paid for it by cars. If you drove a car in Singapore, it was very, very expensive just to have the privilege of driving. Cost, I think, upward towards $100,000.
Wow!
And
gas was really expensive too, I bet.
Everybody had a little gizmo in their car, so that whatever road you were on, you would have to pay certain amounts for parking and for using different roads. And so a lot of people had cars. There are a lot of rich people in Singapore, so that's the way they paid for their fabulous transit system.
Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, James. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems to me that at least in Portland, from what I've talked about, as far as like accessible forms of public transportation, mm-hmm. it seems like Portland has more of a snootier edge to it. Like I have friends from back in Philadelphia, and they tell me that you know, when they're riding bikes, that it's a mixture of incomes of people who ride bikes. Whereas you see out here, it's generally one demographic who rides bikes, or at least takes the bus too. And I get what you're saying about the gentrification, because I mean, I remember when I first started taking the bus out here, it costs like under $1 to get wherever you want. I mean, you had to go through, they had like the zone one, zone two, zone three.
Right.
But, you know, you could pay for as far as you wanted to go. Right. And now it's like, even though $5 is a good price to ride all day, it's still nothing compared to what it used to be. And it just seems like people are getting priced out. I mean, I'm kind of coming in this conversation a little bit late, so I've been trying to piece together a little bit of stuff, because I have issues with transportation too, because, you know, it needs to be accessible, period. I mean, I ride bikes more often now, which is really helpful. I mean, it's good for, you know, exercise and all that too.
Right.
But I mean, I'm saving a lot of money biking, but that's still, you know, that doesn't help people who have developmental disabilities,
right,
or people who have any physical disabilities,
or people with children and grocery bags.
You know, it works for people who have maybe like a kid,
right?
You know, but it's just. You know, it's really perplexing to me why they keep raising the prices. I mean, granted, we got probably one of the most efficient public transit systems in the world, but that's no reason to make it completely inaccessible to everybody either.
Absolutely true. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. And so hopefully you'll get Opal's report. You'll read it. You'll write the TriMet board or show up on September 28th. Any of those would be great. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Eric. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the show. I really support the idea of public transportation being affordable, especially for working class people in a city where the cost of living is going up a lot. So I was wondering if the people from Opal could address the obvious argument against their idea how is TriMet supposed to afford lowering their fares. We know that when the economy is bad, the transportation system takes a hit.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, in the report, you can see in the report, it's opalpdx.org/BRU Life. On the second page, it talks about how we recommend how TriMet, you know, gain those costs or
could recoup those costs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, first you got to ask, do they really need as much money as they acquire, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be question number one. And, right, and if so, you know, how do you replace the cost? How do you figure out how to replace it in a way that's equitable and it's still not passing on the cost to low-income consumers, mm-hmm, right?
So what is the short version? How do they make up the money, or why don't they need the money?
So Opal has been really good at, you know, analyzing the budget and the costs and how to reallocate that within TriMet. And so we recommend that TriMet impose taxes on investment income and corporate profit within the service area as a less regressive alternative to additional, mm-hmm, payroll taxes. Also aggressively pursue additional revenue from advertising on transit vehicles and stops, and add a fare surcharge for West Commuter Rail, and also reconsidered a paid parking scheme at high-demand TriMet park and ride facilities. And this has been done in Seattle, San Francisco, these methods. So, yeah.
Pretty creative, huh?
Yeah, that makes sense. What's the investment tax part?
So the investment income and corporate profit within the service area. So that's just a tax, essentially. Right now, TriMet gets their, you know, budget from payroll taxes. So we're recommending that they impose taxes on investment income and corporate profit.
Huh. I'll have to learn more about that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're so welcome. And again, the report's available online at opalpdx.org. You could just go online and read it yourself. I love when you can just go and get your hands on detailed analysis that's backed up by experiences of other states. So thank you so much for your call. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Francis. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, I'm looking forward to reading that. I have a question about how the fares are enforced. And I was wondering, did you guys do any kind of study into the expense that goes into using the police force to back up the fare inspectors. I ride TriMet a lot. That's my mode of transportation, and I appreciate how I can get almost anywhere in this city on TriMet. That is very nice. However, as I do that, I've noticed that certain times when the fare inspectors, there's just like certain overpasses, there'll be police cars waiting to back up the fare inspectors if necessary to arrest people. Did you guys do any kind of study on that expense, how much that costs to do that?
Good question.
And also how these tickets are administered. I noticed that some locations or areas of town, I never, ever, ever see a fare inspector. And in other parts of town, I see them all the time.
They're saturated. Yes, yes. Very good questions. Thank you, Francis.
All right, take care.
You too. So anybody want to tackle that one?
So I think Opal will be working on a campaign to address fare enforcement. Mm-hmm. And the Bus Riders Unite have met. They meet monthly, Bus Riders Unite, and fare enforcement is a big issue on
their agenda.
Yeah, so we will be addressing that issue.
It definitely came up often also in our conversations on the bus, mm-hmm. of talking to people. So it's kind of how we gauge the issues is like what people are talking to us about.
Right.
That has been a big issue of like where those fare inspectors actually are.
And where are they?
We know they're not on the streetcar, that's right. For sure.
And well, actually they are on the streetcar.
They are on the streetcar.
Once I saw one guy for a week on the streetcar.
Yeah, we heard that they're not like arresting people on the streetcar because of the demographic. Well, one of the conversations was that it's because of the demographics of the people that ride the streetcar, and seeing more people towards Beaverton. I don't know if you were there for that conversation, but there was a lot more fare enforcers.
And so people get arrested on TriMet bus for not having a ticket?
You can get arrested.
Why would you be arrested? I mean, isn't that a violation? Don't you get a ticket, like a traffic ticket?
Yeah, I think from what I understand, I personally haven't seen anyone get arrested, but there was one incident where there was a Spanish speaker and fare enforcer officer was talking to her and trying to communicate, and it was just a disheartening experience. I think she had to end up calling someone to help translate. And mm-hmm. so it seems like it's sort of inconvenient and timely and costly process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember once being on the train just recently after a conference at Portland State University, and me and another young woman, a Latina woman, get on the train about 9:30 at night, right, a Friday night, downtown Portland. And the next block, 4 fare inspectors get on, all big, overweight white dudes, right? Very intimidating, and surround us and demand our ticket. And I thought, and I said to him, why are there so many of you? Oh, we always go in a team. Well, no, that's not a team. That's like, it's too many of you. What's up with this, right? Mm-hmm. And we had our ticket. But it was the intimidation factor that somehow showing up in force like that was supposed to what? Was supposed to show their power and that they had some control. And so we're both old women, so I could just imagine what happens to young kids who are riding the train or the bus late at night. But I was like really annoyed. I wasn't intimidated. I was just annoyed that they thought that... that they had to approach in that kind of persona. But so I'm glad that Bus Riders United continues to work on that issue. As I continue to work on racial profiling, that issue also comes up, the fare inspectors, mm-hmm. and where they're stationed and when they're stationed and why they're stationed in some parts of the community versus others. Right. So glad to know that's still taking place. Looks like we've got a caller on the line. Hello, Joe. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO. Oh, looks like Joe left. Come, call back, Joe. You got a few more minutes. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And so what are you going to take away from this experience? You talked about that you had better listening skills, that you now you have this sense that as an urban planner, it's about working with the community rather than most urban planners come in and they see a blank slate, right? And it's their job to come in and like create, right? There's a professor at Portland State, Steve Johnson. I don't know if he's still there, but he used to bring me into his class every quarter, his urban planning class, because he'd have all these bright-eyed students who couldn't wait to go out into a community and, like, build it, right? And I'd have to come in and say, community was there before you got there. There are some community norms. There are some community customs. And you're going to be better if you take the time to learn what they are before you just... You know, I'm here to change your landscape. and so you're going to be an organizer somewhere. And are any, do you want to stay with the environmental justice movement? Are you thinking about some other, exploring some other organizing opportunities? Or and of course, it's campaign season, so oh my gosh, there's all kind of organizing opportunities.
Yeah, I think I'd rather do more community organizing, either stay with environmental issues, try some reproductive issues. Like I've worked a lot in student organizing. I'm a recent graduate, so I did a lot of like higher education affordability stuff. I'm really looking to.
Expand your horizon. Well, very cool. I think reproductive justice, I don't know if Opal has access to the Brave Toolkit, which is, you know, only the best reproductive justice training tool on the planet, as well as I'm sure that there are just all kind of opportunities. I mean, your smile and just your engaging manner, I think you're going to be snapped up very soon. And so we've got a few minutes left. If you want to get in on the end of the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Jay and I are going to hang around. Beatrice is going to have to go. Do you want to say any last thing or any last words? Today is graduation day. So what do you think about that?
I think I've had an amazing time with Opal and learning from their staff and working with the community. Also learning from them has been an amazing experience. But yeah, thanks for listening.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you coming in. And busy organizers always have other things on the calendar and agenda. So we appreciate the fact that you came in. And so, Jay, again, we're talking September 28th, 9 a.m. And this information is posted on Opal's website.
That's correct.
So if people go to opalpdx.org, is
that's correct.
Correct.
Yep.
And they will get all the information they need in regard to supporting this effort at the board meeting for TriMet. In addition, it would be really important, it would be really helpful if people would read the report. And if they can't make it to the board meeting on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., are there other ways that people could be helpful?
Absolutely. You know, our lead organizer, Orlando Lopez, you can contact him. Again, his number is 503-774-4504. Or you can email, his email address is orlando@opalpdx.org. And so we're really looking for stories on how you've been impacted by, you know, the TriMet fare system, how it's impacted your lifestyle, and how a low-income fare will benefit you. So,
excellent. Again, the number to call, 503-231-8187. And so... Jay, we were talking before the show. I was telling you I was had made the connection that Bob and Singer is your dad.
And our brother, yeah.
Your brother?
Yeah.
Oh,
Bob,
my bad. Your brother.
Yeah.
He'd have loved that. See, I thought his kids were a lot younger, but hey, you know, maybe he just looks good for his age. So Bob is your brother.
Yeah, he's 8 years older. So
Very cool, very cool. And so he's been doing some really fabulous work around our criminal justice system. And as we were talking earlier about the intersectionality of the work that's been done, his work around really identifying the racially disparate treatment in Multnomah County District Attorney's Office, as well as the most recent report, is on our prisons. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't surprised, but I was just blown away that the disparities not only continue, but they mm-hmm. look like they're getting worse and worse, and no one seems to be accountable. And so I just wanted to take the opportunity to say thanks to Bobbin for the work that he's doing, and thanks to you following in that same tradition of just uncovering the truth in community and becoming an advocate for those changes to take place. And so I appreciate the two of you. And so are there other siblings in this family I should be looking out for?
No, it's just us two, but
it's just the two of
you? Yeah, we have a great family. Like my sister-in-law, she works with my brother, Julia.
She does that fabulous program for Native women inside the prisons.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you guys are a powerhouse family. Yeah. Doing some great stuff.
Super fortunate.
So no pressure on you, right?
Yeah, it's tough act to follow, but yeah, I love my brother and he's doing great work. Super, you know, awesome mentor.
Yes, yeah, I met him I think when he was like recently at Lewis and Clark. I think he had got there when I first met him. But yes, over the years I've seen him just do some remarkable work. I'm looking forward to the remarkable work that you will do as well. I love this marriage between. Being an urban planner and an organizer, because I think it changes the way you see the work that you will do in a way that without that organizing background would have put you on a totally different path.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this program, the OIT program at OPAL is definitely was great experience because it politicized me. It really got me questioning the framework in which traditional urban planners work in, and so it's an eye-opening experience in that sense, and it's really made me just more confident in questioning that. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to have gone through that program and really understand the strategies there are to study the decision makers and how to agitate them and achieve justice.
So do we see political office in your future?
I don't know. I'm more behind the scenes type of guy. I like to work with the grassroots. I'm that type of person, and I'm pretty shy.
It fascinates me. And let me tell you, we got a president that used to be an organizer, right?
That's right.
And so the very best of our political system will be better the more community organizers mm-hmm. we have in those positions. So no pressure, just something to think about. I mean, when I see bright, committed, engaged young people, mm-hmm. I always want to plant that seed, right?
Yeah.
Because maybe not today,
that's
but,
true.
You know,
mm-hmm.
10 years from now, you might go, whoa, you know,
yeah.
That crazy woman said. and again, if you want to get the report live, it is on OPAL's website, opalpdx.org. There will be the TriMet Board of Governors meeting, and that will take place on September 28th at 9 a.m. All that information is on OPAL's website, and we want to encourage you to both read the report, and if you can't make it, maybe you want to write the email the executive director and the board members,
right.
And just share your perspective. Even if you can't be there in person, we think it's really important that they hear directly from people, especially those who are transit dependent. Excuse me. And I heard you say that OPAL is collecting stories for people's experiences on transit.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're looking to collect your stories and provide testimony. We're going to set up a hotline so you can call in and, share your stories that you've experienced any hardships. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably present those at the TriMet Board of Directors meeting on September 28th, Wednesday at 9 a.m. So.
Wonderful. I wish I'd asked you this earlier, but I remember thinking, how are the decisions made at TriMet as far as bus shelters? Because if you look at the gentrified neighborhoods, there are these very big, beautiful shelters that keep you dry in the rain. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to East Portland, what you find is these little, they're not even chairs, they're called lean-tos. And so there are things that you can lean up to, but only two people can actually lean up against it. Mm-hmm. And there's no cover and there's no protector from the rain. Do you know how did that come up in your work about just, I mean, how that happens?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think BRU members, Bus Riders Unite, they have done work in that and in improving the safety around bus stops.
Well, I'm going to check in with them because that's one of the things that bugs the heck out of me. Thank you so much, Jay. It's been a pleasure having you here. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and I'll see you next week. Same time, same place, same station.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. No, you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter is cold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
And good morning. It is KBOO, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Coming up on your Thursday morning, we've got Fight the Empire. Not that tough a word, but still. Fight the Empire with Per Fogering in about a half hour. At 10, it'll be Air Cascadia. At 10:15, join us for Flashpoints. And at 11, it's Between the Covers. And 11:30, it's Black Book Talks. So stick around. Lots coming up here on your Thursday. It's The Boo. And coming up next, Press Watch with news you're not supposed to know. Teresa Mitchell is standing by.
Join KBOO Community Radio at Clinton Street Theater on Thursday, September the 8th for United We Stand Up, a comedy show and a benefit for KBOO. I'm T6 and I'll be your host that night, which will feature local comedians like Betty Lungen, Bree Pruitt, Adam Potsey, Brandy Morgan, Belinda Giles, Noriko Ott, and Debbie Wu.